Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio.
This is AppSats Radio, help for partners after sexual betrayal. We talk about it here.
Betrayal trauma.
We are AppSats certified clinical partner specialists and coaches who have been trained to help navigate you through this crisis. There is nothing we won't talk about.
Sometimes listeners want to know about triggers.
I'm dealing with the aftermath of my husband's affairs, and he still works the same job that he did when he was acting out. It's a job that allows him to hide his goings-on and one that he stated was the previous trigger for his acting out. The whole 16 and a half years we've been together, he's acted out. In the beginning, what I thought it was just pornography. It ended up being, I found out 2.5 years ago, he had been with multiple prostitutes. I only found out a very small portion of that until about a month ago. How do you cope with all of that when you still have to deal with unavoidable triggers?
Well, of course you would feel traumatized by hearing all that information. And I got to tell you, Stephanie, that's a staggered disclosure. That's finding out little bits and pieces about your husband's behavior throughout a time period, making you feel insecure, unsure, and unsafe. So what we got to do is set up a situation whereby you get with a specialist to do a formal disclosure so you can hear everything at one time in a safe environment.
Right, and you know what? We're talking about today. Hi, I'm Carol Jurgensen-Sheep, a.k.a. Carol the Coach. And I want to talk slowly. I want to talk freely. And I want to reassure you that we're going to be talking about how to reduce stress. And I know, absolutely know, that we're going to get through this pandemic together. I've been working with people that are 100% in financial distress. Both people have lost their jobs. They don't feel like they're going to get them back. Now, I believe they are going to get them back, but it's really about how long this is going to go on. And let's face it, we have to apply the serenity prayer here, right? We have to appreciate the fact that there are things that we can change and there are things that we can't. And there are always three things that you absolutely can count on. One, and although you can say, I'm very scared, you also can say, but I will grow stronger from this. I do believe it'll afford us more family time. I've needed to breathe, and I haven't been able to, and now I've got more than enough time. Or maybe you needed more sleep. Now, every day, I write down 5 things that are positive that have come from COVID-19. And it certainly doesn't change all the things that are not good in the world. You know, I worry about my colleagues and my clients and my friends that have lost their jobs. I worry about the fact that there are people with lupus that don't have Plaquenil or hydrochlorothiazide to take care of them because those meds are being given to people with COVID-19, with the coronavirus. I mean, there's all sorts of reasons to worry, but I am a big believer in neutralizing as much of the worry by thinking about what might be positive. And it's actually a game I've been playing with my clients. I have said, you know, let's come up with 10 things that are positives that have come out of this. And then I start. And it might be as simple as appreciate being outside more. And then he or she might say, I appreciate that my family is together. And then I might say, I appreciate that I'm getting to clean out my closets. And it's not even officially, really, well, it is officially spring, but it's really not spring yet here in the Midwest because we got some budding and some warm days, but we've still got snow and, you know, it just doesn't feel real spring-like. But I do appreciate the fact that I'm doing things as if it were the middle of April. And then my client may say, I appreciate the fact that I don't have to go into work. And so you get the gist. That's the kind of thoughts that we can be aware of so that our other thoughts are not as prevalent. Now, I know you may think, well, what's the difference between thoughts and attitude? Well, my attitude is that I project to my clients, to my friends, that things are going to be fine. That, yes, this is a hard time, and there's going to be rough bumps. And yet there are lots of things there, lots of accommodations, if you will, that are being made so that it's not quite so rough. And if I have to go in and see a client, I just set my own safety standards. And I make sure we don't exchange credit cards. And I walk in front of him or her, and I ask them, are you sick? Have you been coughing? Have you run a fever? I do my due diligence to make sure I put myself in a safe situation. I make sure that I remind them that I'm doing that. And I also, of course, don't want to expose anybody else to my condition. And if my condition is vulnerable because I'm not doing my due diligence, that's irresponsible. I remember when this first thing happened, I came in, I always kissed my husband, hello and goodbye, and I went for a kiss, and you know what he did? He kind of pulled away and he said, should we be doing that? We don't even know if each other are carriers. And I said, well, honey, you got to do what you're comfortable doing, and I'll respect that. But come on now, we have been drinking out of the same glass. We do sleep in the same bed. I mean, there are plenty of reasons to know that we've already exposed each other to each other any conceivable germs. Okay, so my attitude. I want to be a beacon of hope. I want to say, you know, do your modifications. And if you forget and shake somebody's hand, just get that Purell right out. Keep that attitude emotionally stable. And let's face it, for some of you, you just went through discovery in the last 6 months. And so this pandemic seems almost unfathomable to the amount of stress you've already been dealing with. I'll tell you another quick story. My mother died on August 31st, and that was Labor Day holiday, so we had to postpone her funeral until after Labor Day. We didn't want to do that. People were going back to school. I wanted as many people at the funeral as could be, and so we ended up having it the following Friday, and that was like the 7th. And then, of course, the following Tuesday was September 11th. And although I was handling my mother's death really well, I'm a believer in the circle of life. And so when somebody that I truly love dies, I really stay focused on what I appreciated about them. I believe that I can still talk with them, that they'll still guide me. You know, I just have my own beliefs that keep my loved ones who are deceased close to me. And so I was doing okay with my mother's death, but you know, you're in a fog and you don't know what to think. And you're grieving what you had, and you're grieving what you won't have. So many of you partners understand that, right? So then September 11th happened, and the whole world was in chaos. And no longer were we safe anymore. And I really believe that September 11th hit me in a little different way than the rest of the world because of my recent loss. And I was aware of that because I know how I operate. I know how my attitude is. And so I had to recognize that. And I had to say, you know what, Carol, you had a huge loss less than 10 days ago, and now you've got another one. Give yourself a break. So for anybody listening who, you know, has been through a discovery in the last year, even 2 years, you know, this thing affects the brain for 5 years or can. And so I want to really acknowledge that this is another loss that feels like it's earth-shattering. And you may not know what to believe in. You may not know what feels safe. But if you work on your thoughts and your attitude, then the last thing I'm going to ask you to concentrate on is the art of reframing. And reframing is when you take a situation and you put another frame around it. You take a picture and you add a different frame. And so that might be the pandemic. Put another frame on it and then say, how is this allowing me to appreciate my family more? How am I growing stronger? And what is it here to teach me? You know, Bill Gates wrote this incredible, incredible, almost manifesto. I just happen to have it right here. I forgot that I had printed it out. And he said, I'm a strong believer that there is a spiritual purpose behind everything that happens, whether that is what we perceive as being good or being bad. You know, it's reminding us that we are all equal. One of the things that coronavirus is doing is reminding us that regardless of our culture, religion, occupation, financial situation, how famous we are, the disease treats us all equally. If you don't believe me, he says, just ask Tom Hanks. And then he says, it's also reminding us that we are all connected and something that affects one person has, in effect, affected the other. It is reminding us that the false borders that we have put up have little value as this virus does not need a passport. It is reminding us by oppressing us for a short time of those in this world whose whole life has been spent in oppression. It is reminding us how precious our health is and how we have moved to neglect it through eating nutrient-poor, manufactured food and drinking water that is contaminated with chemicals upon chemicals. If we don't look after our health, we will be more likely to get sick. And it's also reminding us of the shortness of life and what is the most important for us now. And what's important is for us to help each other, especially those that are old or sick. Our purpose is not to buy toilet roll. It is reminding us of how materialistic our society has become. And how when in times of difficulty, we remember that it's the essentials that we need. Food, water, medicine, shelter, as opposed to the luxuries that we sometimes unnecessarily give value to. It is reminding us how important our family is and our home life is and how much we neglect this. It is forcing us back into our houses so we can rebuild them into our home and strengthen our family unit. Now that was six of his teachings out of, let me see, out of 12. So I highly recommend that you Google Bill Gates and what is the Corona COVID-19 virus really teaching us. And that is my refrain. And so today, as you deal with the stress of being cooped up in the house, either by yourself or with your spouse or with your kids or with somebody else, remind yourself that you can change your attitude, your thoughts, and your ability to reframe and really allow it to neutralize the anxiety you feel inside. And you are getting a good show today because I've got an expert, and she is a master at making partners feel safe after their trauma responses and their triggers. And her book, Coming Home to the Heart, Transforming Trauma into Infinite Possibilities for Healing, is instrumental in helping partners to recover from their own journey, as she shares her. So I want to welcome Resha to the show. How are you doing?
I am doing well, Carol. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. And tell everybody, how do you pronounce your beautiful name?
My name is pronounced Richa. Richa Badami.
Richa Badam. And
Badami.
You know, you,
yes.
Badami. And
yes.
You've written this book, Coming Home to the Heart, Transforming Trauma into Infinite Possibilities for Healing. And it's so wonderful that you're on the show, Richa, because we really need to be talking about how people can deal with the stress of the pandemic in addition
mm-hmm.
to the stress of their own personal lives, where partner betrayal is a part of that. So first
absolutely.
Of all, I'm going to ask you, what would you tell people during this very, very challenging time?
First thing I would say is compassion. Have so much compassion for yourself right now. I see this as a trauma sandwich that partners are in, because so many have had pre-existing conditions, pre-existing stress and trauma from not only betrayal trauma, but perhaps even further, back in their past from childhood. And they've already come into this period, this phase, this pandemic with an existing trauma, and then to have the compounding effect of this trauma is really, like you were describing earlier, just this space of just doubling up on it. And it's a time for so much compassion. It's a time for partners to pause. It's a time to really go deeper into self-care, self-love, and look after yourself. The oxygen mask on your own, for yourself first, because this is a time for radical self-love and self-care.
Oh, and everybody who listens to the show knows that we talk about self-care as being the antidote to dealing with so much of this stress. So tell me a little bit about your program. I mean, I know that you are providing individual and group coaching to so many, and you actually, you're putting together some different programs. So what are you offering? What resources are you offering to partners of betrayal?
Well, right off the bat, I started offering guided meditations for partners, for everybody, frankly, who is looking for guidance to learn how to pause. I teach partners to pause, to practice meditation as a proven tool for self-regulation, to help calm the body, the mind, the heart, the anxiety, the stress. And right now I am offering individual sessions on Zoom, group sessions on Zoom or phone, however, whatever makes most sense for the partners. But just the access to me, I've even put my phone number out there and my links, everything, so that partners can reach me and use me, you know, use these resources, guided meditations. I have, you know, these, some partners I know have a lot of anxiety and stress around sleep, being able to fall asleep. I have a beautiful meditation called Yoga Nidra, which is to help with falling asleep. It's a step-by-step process of guiding through visualization and imagery to help you relax your body step-by-step. There's a lot of other resources and tools that I'm offering on my website that I'll be happy to share the link of when you'd like me to. It's anything that can help partners get still for a moment, and it is so hard to do with everything that is happening, not just in our times right now, but already in the relationship, in the family. The one thing that I've seen with my clients is partners love to love and take care of others. And this is just the perfect... I'm sorry, did I break up?
No, you didn't. So you said they love to love others and they really put others before themselves. That's what I find about partners.
Yes, taking care of others, you know. And this opportunity, these current events present the perfect opportunity to say, well, let me just take care of my kids, my home, my spouse, my family, my, you know, everyone else. And it could be that partners who have even had perhaps several years of recovery might go a few, you know, go back a step or two with this need to, which isn't, I honor that. I honor that in all partners, that they have this loving, generous, giving spirit to take care. But there's a, you know, there's a tipping point where the care for others diminishes the self-care, if that makes sense. And that's the moment where we have to pause.
Total sense. And one more time, remind everybody of your website so that they can be getting on the website if they're at their desks right now and take a look at the resources you have to offer.
Sure, absolutely. My website is richabadami.com. So that's my name, RichaBadami.com. And then I have a resources page for these meditations that I've specially recorded for these times. And it's my website with the, you know, the slash, the pause resources. So the-pause, P-A-U-S-E, dash resources. And if listeners would like to check out the resources there are 6 or 7 meditations, and I'm adding new ones every single day for you know, as tools that partners can avail of. And they can contact me through my website or directly at 818-92-PAUSE, and I would love to do a, you know, a free session with them, complimentary session, whatever they need right now, to give them any help they need, support they need.
Well, that is so kind of you, and you understand the needs of people who have been through any kind of betrayal because you have your own personal journey. Can you share a little bit about your story?
Oh, absolutely. I would love to. I'd love to share why I am such so connected to the journey of trauma and betrayal. It's because right from the time that I was a little girl growing up in India, the first betrayal was by my family, my father, and I was sexually abused as a child. So I learned a lot about relationship and trust, and not the healthy kind of trust, growing up. And I grew up into my teens and 20s. You know, that part of my life, it took a long time to heal, and I eventually did, and that's what my book Coming Home to the Heart speaks about. It speaks about the whole journey of the abuse and then the recovery from the abuse and the reconciliation with my father and the healing and the forgiveness and all of that journey that happened. And A Letter to My Daughters, which was a really critical, pivotal moment of my life, was becoming a mother and how that accelerated my journey into my own self-healing and taking radical responsibility for my life. All this time not knowing that I was also a partner. And when I did discover what had been happening in my own personal life, I sought groups, I sought recovery, I sought a therapist and a coach. And with my own life experience in personal transformation, coaching, healing, energy, body work, and the list goes on. I have over 25 different trainings and certifications. All that culminated to this point, which makes it kind of the perfect menu of everything that has come before me in my life, the abuse, the trauma, the betrayal, even the training and everything I've learned in my life, all together today to help me stand for and hold a safe space and container for partners. I feel like I'm doing it right now. Actually, my hands are up and I'm holding like a big giant hug for all partners right now in my arms. And it's like, you know, there's a safe container for you. You are safe. You are loved. You are worthy. You are enough. And that, yeah, it's just, my heart is full of love and compassion for partners right now, because not only am I so utterly grateful for my coaches and therapists and my peers, my sisters and brothers who have all held space for my healing and recovery so I could be here today. Without everyone that's come before me in this field, in this profession, it's just this feeling of connectedness and oneness with everything and everyone, like the entire planet is going through the exact same time. And it's this perfect storm. And my invitation to partners is join me in entering the eye of the storm. Let's together enter the eye of the storm, because the eye is still part of the storm, and yet it doesn't belong to the chaos of the storm. And it's something we need to do in our life, with or without a pandemic, frankly, but even more so now while this is happening. Let's just take a deep breath in and step into that stillness, that quiet, that moment where we can just be. And it's okay to not be okay. And it's okay that there is all this happening and we don't have power over it. And yet we have all the power we ever needed over ourselves.
Well, and you know, I was just talking before you joined the call that clearly there are so many things that we can't control. But just like the Serenity Prayer says, there are always things that we can. And what you just talked about are two really important resources. One is we can control our breathing and we can slow our own personal situation down and enjoy taking in oxygen and filling up with that. And there's so many things we can do visually for ourselves when we breathe. Would you agree?
Oh, 100%. 100%. Just taking a conscious breath, one conscious breath. I'm doing it right now. Just one deep conscious breath will just help slow everything down. Just the racing of the mind, the racing of the heart. You know, the one thing that we sometimes can find ourselves pulled into or sucked into is when either our partner or whatever situation or triggers, now that partners might find themselves confronted with being with, you know, with their significant other 24/7, day after day, 7 days a week, and for quite an uncertain time, is to really find time to honor your space, holding physical boundaries other than emotional, of course, emotional, mental, and fiscal, all those boundaries, but physical boundaries and finding safety in that, first and foremost, and then also to honor the quiet, if they need that, or time for, you know, to read a book or just be in nature or sit and do something for themselves, journaling, anything. But really knowing that you are worth it, you deserve it, take care of yourself and create those physical boundaries and find time to get still, to pause, maybe listen to a meditation or to reach out for help if you need help. We all need community. The number one thing for any partner is to be part of community, to know that you are not alone, to know that there are others on the same journey with you, and to be connected. You know, connection is the antidote to all kinds of stress and strain. And so find your group, find your people.
Well, and you say that, and I know that you're actually starting a group. So talk a little bit about the group, the partners group that you want to start.
The partners group that I, yeah, absolutely. The partners that I work with are all looking to be, to get more, to make meditation more, you know, more of a tool that they can fall back to, especially when things get stressful. So the first thing I teach partners in my coaching is how to learn how to relax. How to make that part of, you know, and almost a seamless part of their life, their lifestyle, so that they can learn how to take better care of themselves. So the group that I'm starting is going to have partners who want to come into this training program for meditation and learn these tools for building resilience and building self-regulation practices. And then individually also, wherever they want to take their meditation practice, then I work with my clients in that capacity, because I'm also a professional life coach, personal transformation coach, and APSATS trained, as you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And so we heard you say that, you know, you had no real idea that you were being betrayed, and certainly your own background has helped you in dealing with some of this. So many of our clients have multiple betrayals, from sexual, physical, emotional abuse as children, and you know, some have been had date rape occur in their dating lives, and what is your belief about people that may have complex or post-traumatic stress in terms of their ability to relax, de-stress, and practice mindfulness?
Yeah, you know, like you said, mindfulness, practice mindfulness. It's a practice. It is available to us all the time, and it's in that practice that in those moments, in the triggers, in the reminders, how we can choose to pull back, have a meta view, or just noticing, oh, this trigger is having me experience this. This trigger is making my stomach turn. My chest just got tight. It's noticing the cues. And mindfulness is just becoming aware and then aligning, realigning yourself to perhaps just breath. I'm going to breathe this through. I'm going to let the breath settle me right now. I'm going to let the breath take a deep breath in, and I'm going to breathe into that knot in my stomach right now that this trigger just gave me. That to me is mindfulness. It's being aware, becoming aware, and then taking that action to allow yourself to come into a place of relax, release, renew, let go. And I see that as a way to love yourself, being mindful, love yourself. And with people and partners who have had multiple trauma experiences, and like you said, the list and the way of, you know, experiences of trauma is just so varied. It eventually and essentially, I always tell my clients and partners, essentially who you are is whole and complete. You are naturally resourceful and whole just as you are. And everything that happened to you, your body, emotionally or mentally, it happened to aspects of you, but who you are, who you truly are, cannot be hurt, cannot be touched, cannot be abused. And we all have that core spirit and love in ourselves, for ourselves. I call that the essential self when I work with my clients, is that part of you can never be, there's a part of you that can never be damaged. So through meditation, what I like to guide my clients through is to access that place of pure love, and then grow into that love first, and then expand that into their healing so that they can feel really loving towards themselves. And from that place of love and kindness, so much shifts and so much good happens for their health, their mind, their wellness.
But Risha, don't you believe that when there's been so much betrayal in one's life, that it's hard to believe that one deserves to really take good care of oneself, because the people that our partners have trusted to help take care of them have betrayed them so terribly? You know, I'm thinking about people that have experienced trauma over and over and over again, and they begin to doubt the world. They begin to doubt their God. They begin to doubt the universe. And then something like the pandemic occurs, and it just further reinforces that nothing is safe. And yet you said that there is a part of each and every one of us that I don't exactly remember how you said it, but basically that is untouched, that deserves to have the best in life. What do you think when somebody's had multiple traumas?
Yes, first of all, my heart goes out to them, because I've been in that place as well. And it's a perspective that when we look at ourselves, I remember looking at myself back in, you know, I don't know, some 25 so years ago, feeling like everything was dark and there was no one there. I had nobody, my family, my, you know, there was no significant relationship. My own family had betrayed me. There's just so much. Everything was dark. Everything was taken, is what it felt like. And yet, in the work that I did that helped me connect with that one little ray, one little tiny little ray of light that shone through all that darkness, and something in me had me connect to that ray of light that slowly kept pulling me out and out and out and out from that deep, dark place into a place of learning how to be kind to myself, how to find healing. And maybe I was kind to myself one day of the year, and then maybe that changed to 2 days of the year, and then maybe that changed, and you know, little by little by little, I learned how to come back to being loving. I feel that when partners are going through this intense, more, you know, phase of crisis, not only in their lives, but then to compound it and to, I look at it like I said earlier, trauma sandwich, crisis sandwich they're in. They're being almost like crushed or compressed in it, is to find in them the perspective that to remind themselves of the time when they had hope, to have hope and to know that there is a light at the end of the tunnel and that light is within them. There is no partnership or significant other or pandemic, absence of pandemic or anything that can take that away from them. They have access to that all the time. And if they can look inward, which is really hard to do when the external forces are so strong and so compelling, which is why I find my meditation to be such a powerful tool and resource in these times, is so that you can go within. And when I say go within, it doesn't mean burying your head in the sand, being in denial about what's happening, or doing what some people call a spiritual bypass, which is, oh, I'm just going to go do this all the time and ignore everything else. Well, once in a while, if you do have to just take a moment to like turn everything else off and go within, I say that that's very powerful, because within you is everything you need to know to access your higher self. When you access your higher self, you are looking at it from the perspective of you are love, you are grace, you are peaceful, you have ease and flow in your life. So choosing a perspective of that inner love and honoring, the world is coming at us like, you know, it's like drinking from a fire hose right now with information, statistics, and dreary, dreary data about everything that's happening. And I'm not saying that's not real. And yet, what's also real and equally and you know, intensely real is that you are worth it. You are worthy. You are enough. You are loved. That
you
is
know,
also
I
a
love,
truth that we have
I
to
love
hold.
I love your energy, because you obviously know absolutely that each one of the people that we work with are unique, are special, deserve to be loved. And if they're not getting that love from their husbands or wives or their family, they have to find it within themselves to love themselves and not to cave to what somebody else is thinking.
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
so
absolutely.
Again, if you had to identify the trauma that you have experienced in your life, what would your trauma timeline be?
Well, as a partner of mine, my entire life, my trauma timeline was all the way from, I would say, started when I was about 8 or 9 years old. And as a child, and then over time, I was married when I was like 20, 21, I didn't know at the time that I married an addict. That marriage ended very quickly and it did not go process. I did not process anything. I was too. I thought, oh, that was just a bad choice, moved on. There was compounding trauma and I was getting sick and there was trauma from getting sick. I got I found transformational work, personal transformation work, healing work. I went deep into my healing and recovery. So I had a huge amount of recovery and healing at about, you know, I would say 1997, like that. And I became very serious about coaching back then and started to get trained to be a coach and leader. And then I got married. I didn't know I was a partner again in that marriage, my current marriage. And about 3.5 years ago, I had discovery and started my journey of recovery and healing. And this time, full on in and uncovering everything that had gone in the past that was continuing to contribute to my patterns and beliefs about myself. And sort of reconciling with all the choices I had even made and also coming to this place of, okay, I am enough and I am worthy. And I see now how partners experience and what they don't have to experience also. So it's been a powerful journey of gratitude, trauma, trials and triumphs and transformation that allows me to stand in this moment and be that safe space, grounded and centered to tell partners that I have walked the walk in many ways and forms. I'm from India, so growing up there was a lot of traditional thinking around the sanctity of marriage and all of that, all the stories growing up to now living in Southern California, having lived here now for almost, lived in the U.S. for now almost 18, 19 years, learning and becoming authentically all of who I am in service of others, in service of myself, like I said, putting on the mask for myself before I help others. And I don't see that as, self. Yeah, go ahead.
Absolutely practice what you preach. And you've risen from the ashes, if you will, and your body was keeping score of all the traumas. And then you found something that really helped. And I want to say that I definitely can appreciate the fact that you know how powerful meditation can be, and especially for people like partners who have been through multiple stresses. And I want to tell our listening audience that Risha is forming this meditation group for partners, and she's calling it Zen Hope. And she told you earlier that you can contact her at Risha, R-I-C-H-A, at Risha, R-I-C-H-A, B-A-D-M-I .com. And she wants you to know that when
I'm going to correct that really quick. B-A-D-A-M-I. Badami.
Right. Got it. And she wants you to know that you can call and inquire about this because this is one of those things that we can control. Is our ability to quiet our thoughts and to give to us. And you are the perfect example of somebody who can and does make a difference in the world by teaching these meditative tools.
Thank you. Thank you, Carol.
Absolutely.
It's an absolute honor. It's an absolute honor to be in service. I remember having a conversation with my higher power, with God, and saying, "What do you, you know, what do you need me to do? Who do you need me to help? Who do you want me to feed? Just tell me, show me." And then things just started to show up, and I just feel honored doing my life's work in service of, in service of the betterment and raising the vibration. And I feel like every partner that loves themselves more and more radically every day, they're just being called in the matter of global loving healing, because they're loving themselves more. And I just want to be there to facilitate that in whatever way, shape, form I can.
Well, and that definitely impacts generations to come. When
Absolutely.
Partners can learn how to use their body work and
mm-hmm.
care for themselves and put themselves first, as you keep saying, put the mask on themselves so they can take in that oxygen first and foremost, it makes a difference in the impact it leaves for the family. You know, kids are watching
Absolutely.
To see how adults handle the stress. And
yeah,
so
partners
really,
who are parents. I mean, being a parent, and I know not all partners are parents, and some partners are grandparents. As a parent, for me, my perspective was that if I don't take care of me, how will I show up? The way I show up as a parent is deeply impacted. It is deep. When my mind is foggy, when I am feeling down or negative or depressed or anxious or stressed, in short, the list goes on. Who I show up as when I am being a mother to my daughters, there's a huge impact. And that was a huge wake-up call for me, because when I look at the faces of my daughters looking to me for help, support, love, and guidance, I can't pretend that that's not happening, that I couldn't do that. I couldn't look the other way. I had to do something about it. And the tools that meditation and personal transformation provide helped me with this so much, is to come into that place of, okay, I'm going to take an action, and that is going to make me be more fulfilled, more alive, more present to my children. And even though I, quote unquote, may have thought I was doing it for them, I was doing it for me. And now me being the common denominator in my life, in all aspects of my life, when I'm better, the equation just is better all around.
And that, again, is a self-interested and selfless thought. I mean, it takes you being self-interested enough to know that you have to be able to take care of yourself. So, Risha, I thank you so much for sharing not only the group that you're going to start, Meditation for Partners, but also some of these simple tools like breathing, which can help somebody really get centered and focused. And I would love to have you join us for another show where you actually take us through some of the principles. So let's keep in touch.
I would love that. Thank you so much for having me and sending you lots of love, Carol. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you
thank
for what you do.
Thank you, thank you. Bye, Risha. Okay, and so there we go. I mean, she obviously epitomizes love and connection and self-care. And I really believe that when we work diligently on taking care of ourselves, it makes all the difference in the world. And that is so important. Now, don't forget to look up that Bill Gates quote. Whether you believe in him or not, whether you like him or don't, I mean, he does such incredible mission work all over the world. He's wanting us to readjust. He's teaching us how to reframe, and we can get through this together. So I want to remind you, there will only be one of you at all times. Fearlessly have the courage to reframe, to breathe, to practice things that you can control, like your attitude, thoughts, breathing, and reframing. And most importantly, have the courage to be yourself. We'll see you next week with more Betrayal Recovery Radio. Make it a good week.
For more information, go to APSATS.org, the Association of Partners of Sex Addicts Trauma Specialists, to find a professional in your area who is trained to help you after sexual betrayal.